Serve you with God's word from this awesome Psalm 145. And I summarize the message as follows, as you also can read in your bulletin. God's overflowing loving care and make God's people give him cascading praise. 3 points. The beginning of, the ongoing flow of, and the crescendo of this cascading praise. Beloved, young and old, Psalm 145 is an acrostic poem. Such a poem is an alphabetical piece of poetry. That means that each line begins with the following letter of the alphabet. In such psalms, a major theme is dealt with and explained. Take, for example, another acrostic psalm, the well-known long Psalm 119. In that psalm, the importance of God's law is explored and praised and commended to God's people, that they have a delight doing God's commandments. Now, the major theme of Psalm 145 is that God being praised as the overflowing fountain of his love and care. Because of his greatness, goodness, and grace and goodness, his people just cannot stop praising him. They acclaim him for his great and majestic deeds. So in a kind of repetitive rounds of words, with virtually the same meaning, Psalm 145 brings glory to the God of heaven and earth. And the words, as it were, tumble over one another, overflowing with thankfulness to God Almighty for who is God for David. How does David love, think, and live with his God? For David, God is not something abstract. God is not an idea. Neither does the Bible present God as a nice theory or a thought, much less as a dream. God is not feeling or emotion either. For God speaks to us. Psalm 29 says, even with a loud voice, God loves us. God cares for us. All of us, young and old, the children, the middle-aged, the young people, the youth, the seniors. Daily he comes to our aid. That's what we experience as God's people, don't we? God gives us life, and we trust that he will make our lives perfect and glorious. God is indeed the living God, our covenant God. Well, congregation, you know, in our today's troubles and tensions, people expect a lot from political authorities. Important people like the Prime Minister here in Canada or the President of the United States, those people are looked at to solve the problems of the country, to make our lives pleasant and prosperous. Nowadays, with the new election coming in the United States, you can hear all kinds of speeches about this. Why do I say this? Well, congregation, the Bible says that our God is as real as those people. Even I should say, he is much more real. For the kings of this earth cannot give life and peace, although they can and do speak strong political language. Yet, the God of David, the God of Psalm 145, our God is, we read, the King of all the earth. And this means that all things come from him. You see, he indeed is the peak from which the waterfall of all blessings flow, the fountain of all good. He is the Creator who made all things. He did so just in a split second by His powerful word. He is also the sustainer who keeps things, all things, running. He is the governor who finishes off His plan for the coming of His eternal kingdom. And so God is the God of all good. God is the God of all grace. God is the God of all justice. God is the God of all love and mercy. Well, because of His greatness, the poet of Psalm 145 comes then also with his cascading praise. His outbursts are, you find them so scattered in this psalm, but his outbursts are, I will extol you, my God the King. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord is good to all. The Lord is faithful to all His promises. The Lord is righteous in all His ways. So, he says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. You see, beloved? The overflowing fountain of all good is extolled by cascading praise. As one is not able to stop a 50-meter steep waterfall, no one can stem the flow of praise from God's people. That is an ongoing drone, so to speak, the praise and worship, church, at home, in this world. The praise of God's people is an ongoing drone of thanksgiving. And so we have come to our second point. David's psalm of praise is not only a song of saying just heartfelt thank yous to God. No, David's praise expresses great admiration. David admires God's splendid majesty. God's majesty then must be linked to His kingdom. And that's what David does. He knows that his own kingdom, David was a king, living in a palace, but David knows that his own kingdom must serve the coming and eternal kingdom of God. And David is convinced that there is nothing about the infinite God that is unworthy of His divine royalty. David is deeply stirred by God's majestic greatness, teaching for all of us every day when the Lord blesses us again with new life and possibilities, that we experience His ongoing providence. We should be stirred by God's majestic greatness. And so David heaps up words of admiration. He speaks about the glorious splendor of Your majesty. And his God is not merely a great king. Take note that David speaks about my God. My God, the King. He knows himself one, Your majestic God and King in heaven. My God, the King, verse 1. David admires God. His admiration brings David to adoration. It moves him to devoted loyalty to his God. True as it may be that no one can fathom God's greatness, unsearchable, yet the majestic God is as close to David as his dearest friend. David shows that he has a personal knowledge of who his majestic God is, what great works he does. And that knowledge brings him to the praise of tradition. For God's fame needs to be passed on. David says that beautiful line that one generation will praise God and praise God's work to another generation. One could call this education praise. Education praise. That godly parents, godly teachers, godly congregation members will tell of God's mighty acts to the children, their children, to the students, to the children of the congregation. Passing on God's mighty acts to them. To which divine works would David refer to? Well, they are the works of creation, deliverance, and providence. The many material blessings, like food and drink. But also the many spiritual blessings, like God's promises, His grace and mercy. In brief, the education praise is that in godly families, in faithful churches, God is worshipped by telling the children about God's goodness and grace, about His true love and constant care, and that they, also the younger ones, belong to God as the lambs of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will therefore be richly provided for. Congregation, beloved, are we coaching each other along with our praise to God? Are we the cheerleaders for our children and young people of the congregation in praise and thanksgiving to God? Ponder that question. For what is showing more our bond with God than praising Him, especially praising Him in our homes, where especially we receive the blessings of the Lord? Think of Psalm 128. I was privileged to preach on not so long ago. Praising God in our homes, around the kitchen table. Doing that, then the older generation commend and hand down God's work to the younger generation. That's actually what Scripture points at in Psalm 145. It's also what the reformers like Calvin instructed his congregation members to do in the church and in the homes and the schools. Calvin taught, people, what you are living for in this world is, what you are living for is the praise of God. Praise to God gives meaning to your life. You see, Psalm 145 is also the reason that elders, ministers can use this psalm also on their visits, a special baptism visits. And then new covenant child is born in one of the families. Psalm 145 gives a solid basis for our teaching of the younger generation, a solid basis for our support to Christian upbringing at home, Christian education at school. Children must learn to speak, to read, and yes, also to sing and make music in order to give praise to our God for the splendor of His awesome works. That's the reason why the reformers, Luther and Calvin, also emphasized music lessons to the children. Congregation, for our children and ourselves, we love to excel in our work. We want to make progress in our career and studies. We want to excel in sport. Well, that's fine, as long as we first and foremost excel in overflowing praise to our God and Maker, Such praise is and should be audible in this world. As you know, everyone and the young people with me, you know, in this world something else is audible as well. And often that can be even deafening. I'm thinking of the modern songs, the music of the unbelieving world, to which give that music praise. To whom? Gives praise to man. That just wants man of this world, just wants to please himself. Now I would like to ask you for a moment, it's very hard of course, but picture David, the poet that God inspired to write Psalm 145. Picture David as living in our time. Would David, driving then in his car, have his MP3 player droning out the popular songs of today? Would he have done his work with earphones on? And for his feast and parties, would he have hired a disc jockey to entertain people? And would he have read a piece of scripture, then move the bookmark, close the Bible, and throw himself again into the busyness of his own work and his own activities? Congregation, don't think that David would be very active with the things of this world while passive in the things of the Lord, in serving him. Not at all. Not at all. David was not passive. David was visibly, actively, audibly busy with the great works of God. And he wanted to know them. And he took time to reflect on them. What did he do next? He grabbed his harp from the wall and he sang his heart out in praise to God. We must do that too. As you are surrounded by God's great works in your homes, in your kitchens, in your offices, workshops, job sites, on the beach and in nature, everywhere, everything around you here in Winnipeg declares the glory of God, and that should be audibly heard by you, believers, inspired by God's Spirit. God's grace should be abundant to you. God continues and provides for all our needs. He keeps his covenant promises, especially impressing upon who he is. Verse 8. And here David, you see the unity of scriptures in a beautiful way. Here David confirms to God's revelation to Moses in Deuteronomy 33, verse 19. And that those words then also are repeated by the prophets and poets of the Psalms. For example, in Psalm 86, also Psalm 103, that our holy and great God and King, he is slow to anger and great in mercy. He faithfully keeps his promises, and his tender mercies are upon all of you and all his works. And he lives up when we fall. He is near us when we are cast down. He opens his hand, pours out his goods upon us. Here in Canada, we see this so richly. And we should let that known loud and clear to everyone, that we call upon him in truth. Not just call upon God, it is repeated, and then the truth is also added. Call upon the Lord, yes, but do so according to God's word, in truth. God will hear. What then? What then does God require to see from us? That we should leave our harp on the hook, or that we leave our hands away from the keyboard, that we don't take music lessons, that we instead would turn our ears to listen to what the unbelieving world presents to us. And so that we also would leave our vocal cords unstrained. Please, beloved of the Lord, don't do that. With David, with all in whom God's Spirit is working, God and the people around us should and will hear the drone of the ongoing flow of cascading praise from us, God's people. That's what we want to do. Today in worship, tomorrow, next week, and always, wherever we are, especially in church and at home, but also at our Christian get-togethers, around campfires, we loudly praise the Lord for all His overflowing love and care. Like with David in Psalm 145, our overflowing praise then goes, as we have seen, from admiration to adoration to education to meditation to proclamation to exaltation to celebration. That means it goes with increasing strength, power. We have made the move to our last point. God's people will never say, congregation, now it's enough. Now I decrease in giving praise. Or now I stop altogether. Think for a moment. Every day we send our prayers to God. We call upon His name with prayer. We constantly pray. Well, the same should be true for our praise. That we give praise to God like a songbird, for example. Or even, if we can do that like a crow. And it will be sound in God's ears to the praise of His glory. We should give praise. God has given us a voice box. We can talk. No one should really say, I can't sing, or I can't make music. Of course, the gifts are different. But use them. Even a small gift of singing or making music. But take note, our last point is not the conclusion of our praise. No, we speak about a crescendo of our cascading praise. For in his song, David doesn't speak about the end or about the conclusion of praise. Look what David says instead. And the last verse, my mouth will speak continuously. My mouth will speak in praise to the Lord. And then he turns to everyone, to all flesh, to all people. Let every creature praise his holy name. Not every now and then, forever and ever. Furthermore, consider Psalm 145 is followed by other psalms of praise. And if Psalm 145 through 250 or 49 is then ending with the crescendo of Psalm 150. As you can see and notice from this afternoon's liturgy, the Psalms 145 through 150 feature, so to speak, in our worship this afternoon. And the last one, Psalm 150, even stimulates to praise God with ever increasing volume, with all the instruments that are available. And that's precisely what crescendo means. Louder and louder, more volume. In harmony with God's word and holiness. Congregation, why is it impossible for God's people to stop with praise? Well, consider. Does God stop giving his love and care to you? Not at all. God promises that he won't shut off the fountain of all good. God continues to pour his goodness and grace upon us every Sunday and throughout the week. God's Father heart is open to sinners every day anew. It is every day such a great miracle to us. But then, he wants us that we acknowledge that. He wants to see our hearts also always open to him. Especially imagine, congregation, what our future will be. In the book of Revelation, we read especially about our glorious future, everlasting future, that before his majestic throne, we will continue to participate in giving cascading praise to him. And so if one thing has become clear to us now, served from God's word, it is this. Praise to our Lord is more important than anything else, beloved young and old. Praise to God is more important than anything else. Like prayer, praise is our spiritual breath. And everyone here knows, when he or she stops breathing, he dies. And so when we stop praising God, we spiritually die. So time and again, it is our calling, we are instructed this afternoon again, to invest great efforts in praise and worship. From your office bearers, parents, and teachers, you may expect that they take every effort to bring you to this cascading praise. Pondering how to improve on singing praise to God, then we don't take our cue from what is appealing to man. It has to go in accordance to the holiness of God and his word, with truth. We don't turn then our electronic devices on, checking out the musical products of the unbelieving world. No, we turn to scripture, the truth, and we meditate upon God's holy word, and we come to see God's greatness and his grace and his goodness. And then we will be spiritually touched by God's mighty acts, and then praise, cascading praise, kind of automatically through the Spirit flows from our lives. Praise of God's mighty acts. For we live in Christ, as we also heard this morning, one in unity with him, we live in Christ. And his Spirit works in us. And so the result, the effectiveness of God's word is, the apostle says in Colossians 2, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and then follows as a climax, as a crescendo, overflowing with thanksgiving. Colossians 2. O congregation, beloved, if this godly and cascading praise flows from us as cheerleaders to the coming generation, and to also to each other, that we may apply what Peter says in 1 Peter 1. If you do that, you will not fall. You will not die. But you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In light of those words from Scripture, we may then look at our church service, worship service here on Sunday. We may look at them as rehearsals for our eternal praise to our great God and King. That's what Revelation 15, for example, shows. All who have gotten victory over the songs of the beast will join in with the song of Moses, of David, and of the Lamb. It will be a huge, loud crescendo. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O God? And who shall not glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship you, for your judgments have been manifested. And so we conclude with this crescendo, cascading praise of Revelation 7. Amen. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might to be our God forever and ever. Amen. And let's confirm God's instruction, confirm that amen, by singing our number 299.